Great to be back. I want to first start off by wishing everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova. I hope everyone had a meaningful and powerful Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, for many, it was different, and it was not like the way you normally are used to Rosh Hashanah. But again, the good news is that Hashem could hear our tefillos from wherever we are, whether we are in shul or whether we are unable to be in shul. And so again, it should be a year of good health and happiness and nachas. All the brachas, kol mishal sabeinu, whatever it is that you're davening for, Hashem should answer your tefillos and hear them. And for us, for our community, and for all of Klal Yisrael, and in the merit of our learning throughout COVID, where we missed one week in all of COVID. And you know what that week was? Tisha B'Av was on a Thursday. That was it. Other than that, we have gone straight. And we have not missed a week, I don't believe. I think I missed one Friday, but I don't think I missed a Thursday. And again, in the zchus of our Limud HaTorah, of our seeking to inspire ourselves and to continue to grow, it should be a year of a great blessing for us and our families, for the community, for Klal Yisrael, and really for the entire world, as we see how just very interconnected we all are. Okay, today what I want to do is study chapter 142 of Tehillim with you. It's a chapter that I've been holding back because it's one of my favorites, and I was waiting for the right time to do it, and I thought, other than Aseres Metshuva, you know, what do you say in Aseres Metshuva? So there's Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMaalos, that we say every day throughout Aseres Metshuva, but we've done that in the past, and you can find the recording online. But I wanted a tefillah that really captured the emotional crying out, the visceral crying out that you and I do this time of the year. And there's another reason that I want to do chapter 142, and that is because I believe very much it prepares us for Sukkot as well. So you're going to get a double whammy today, and that is you're going to be prepared for Yom Kippur, and you're going to be prepared for Sukkot. Now, this is a good thing, because, and no one should say, oh, I didn't hear this, we are off from today until after Sukkot. I'll teach tomorrow, we'll do Parshas Hazinu, and then we are going to be off until after Sukkot. So there's no Tehillim class next week, so I have to prepare you both for Yom Kippur and for Sukkot. I will get you ready for both those. Okay, so here we go. Chapter 142 of Tehillim, the reason why it's probably familiar to you is because we say it oftentimes when we're davening for Cholim. We're davening for Cholim. This is a very prominent chapter to say, and we'll see why in a second. Everyone can see my screen. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, good. So here we go. Maskila David bioso v'ma'ara sifila. A maskil for David, which we're going to come back to that word, but let's say it's some form of a song of David. Bioso v'ma'ara sifila. When David is in the cave, so he offers a prayer. Now, we pointed out in the past that while Sefer Tehillim offers a lot of words for prayer, the word tefillah, counterintuitively, is actually not found as prominently as you would have expected it to. There are other words that are used more prominently when referring to tefillah. But here, David HaMelech is in a cave, and he is saying tefillah. Now, what cave are we talking about here? So again, there's a machlokes, the Das Mikra as a whole, tumult about it. Let's say for simplicity stakes, we're talking about this, the story, this is the way the Mephorshim read it. We're talking about the story of David in En Gedi. Of course, the story with him in Shaul, where he cuts off the corner of the garment of Shaul instead of killing him. And that's, in all likelihood, the cave experience that that David is talking about. And we'll see some of the challenges about that in a second. But David HaMelech is in a cave. And what I want you to think about is not just the historical context in which David HaMelech wrote it, but clearly when David HaMelech writes Tehillim, it's for all of us and for generations. And so when you see the word v'ma'ara in a cave, so it should automatically conjure up a certain set of images, a certain emotional situation for you. When you are in a cave, what are you? So oftentimes you're hiding, you're scared, you might be alone or feel lonely, right? So all of those are kind of the backdrop. The word v'ma'ara, I don't believe, is just a historical acknowledgement of where David HaMelech is writing this, because you don't always get the historical acknowledgement of where David HaMelech is writing this. It's describing a mindset. So for me and you, it's describing a mindset. V'ma'ara, I am in a cave. I am alone. I am nervous. I am anxious. I have nowhere else to run and nowhere else to hide. And therefore, in Pasuk 2, Koli el Adonai ezak, Koli el Adonai eschanan. What does David HaMelech do? He screams out to Hashem, right? The double usage of the word Koli, my voice screaming, and my voice for mercy. Those are two very different words. The Malbim points out here Biosova Mara, Hayare Lizok Bekol, Shalo Yishmua Oivim. We're going to come back to this idea, but the Malbim points out that if you're in a cave, the last thing you want to do, and you're hiding from your enemies, the last thing in the world that you want to do is scream out. Right? It's like when you used to play hide and go seek, or when I watch my children play hide and go seek. So like one of them will find a really good hiding place, and then as their siblings come to them, they'll start like giggling, or they'll be like, psst, psst, I'm over here, right? Not what you want to do when you're hiding from enemies, okay? So says the Malbim, what do you mean, Kol Yel Adonai Zach? David HaMelech is in a cave, he's hiding. We're going to talk about how he's surrounded by his enemies with nowhere else to go. So what is it? He says, Kol Yel Adonai Ezak. No. David HaMelech says, you're right. If I'm screaming for help from Moskowitz, then I should be really quiet. But if I'm screaming for help from Hashem, then I have nothing to worry about. Because all of the anxieties, all of the worries fall to the wayside when it comes to my relationship with Hashem. That's how the Malbim reads it. To the Malbim, this is about Emuna, that David HaMelech is making a statement that even though I'm so afraid and even though I'm surrounded by my enemies, I'm not afraid because I'm going to call out to Hashem and I recognize that Yeshua is Hashem Kerafayin, that Hashem could create salvation anytime He wants. I'm going to offer a slightly different interpretation later on, so hold that thought. So David HaMelech is screaming out to Hashem. We don't know what he's nervous about yet, but he's screaming out to Hashem. Pasuk 3, Eshpoch Lefanav Sichi. Right? Like Shivchi Kamayim Libech. He's pouring out his heart and he's pouring out his soul to Hashem. Tsarasi Lefanav Agid. And I am telling him about all of my troubles. Says the Radak, Afa Pisha Neidalo Agidena Lefanav Betfilasi. Very important philosophical notion, which is that if God knows everything, if Hashem knows what I'm worried about, and Hashem knows what I care about, and Hashem, why do I have to daven? Or what do I have to daven to Hashem for? If Hashem knows everything, what do I need to tell Him what's on my mind? If, as we discussed last week, Hashem knows what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I'm going to say before I even say it, so Hashem knows right now what I'm worried about. Why do I need to tell Hashem what it is that I need to worry about? So the Radak simply points out, don't think that the fact that you tell Hashem what you need means that Hashem doesn't know. Even though Hashem knows what you need, nonetheless, what do? Nonetheless, we tell Him about it. Now, why do we tell Him about it? Why is it so important? Why is that so central to tefillah that we tell Hashem things that He already knows? So, Rav Pinkus talks about this in Sha'arim B'Tefillah a lot. And at one particular point, he points out that the reason why we do this is all you have to do is think in terms of relationships, right? Think in terms of relationships. Relationships are predicated on me communicating with you, on me opening up to you, on me feeling a dependence on you. That's what a relationship is predicated on. And so even though Hashem knows what you and I are thinking before we even think it, and He knows what we're worried about, and He knows what what we want to daven for, nonetheless, because we're interested not just Hashem as an ATM machine. Oh, Hashem, I'm worried about something, bada bing, bada boom, I push in my four number code, and money starts pouring out. That's not what our relationship with Hashem is about. It's a relationship. And so Hashem wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to tell Him what's on our mind, and to tell Him what's worrying us. And so says the Radak, Afa Pishan Edalo, even though Hashem knows, Agiden, I'm still going to tell Him. Why? Because that's what it means to be in a relationship with someone. That's what it means to care about someone. That's what it means to want to communicate with someone. So David HaMelech says, Eshpoch lefanav sichi, I'm pouring out to Him, Tsarasi lefanav agiden, I'm telling Him, I'm laying it all out there. I'm telling Him everything that's bothering me. And of course, if you haven't done so already, this is what we should be doing during Aseres Mei Tshuva. Right? Aseres Mei Tshuva is not just about tshuva. It's not just about repentance. We spoke about this a little bit on Rosh Hashanah in the class. It's not just about repentance. Aseres Mei Tshuva is about building a relationship with Hashem. It's that we have distanced ourselves from Hashem, and we now spend 10 days coming closer to Hashem, hoping that we culminate in this grand experience of Ni'ilah. Right? That's what you and I are aspiring for. Whether God gives us what we want, we have no idea. We don't understand His calculations. We don't understand His ways. But here's what I do know, is that the most meaningful thing in our lives is our relationship with Him. And that's what we spend our time doing. Because we'll never know the outcome, but we can put in the effort to that relationship. Pasuk 4, Bisatef alai ruchi. Ve'ata yadata nesivasi ba'orach zu aleich tamnu fachli. So you have here this notion that David HaMelech is already starting to communicate of tamnu fachli, that they laid a trap for me. David HaMelech is clearly feeling very surrounded. He's feeling stuck. He's feeling caught between the rock and the hard place, the proverbial rock and the hard place. Bisatef alai ruchi means that there's like a weightiness of David's spirit. You know, sometimes like you'll wake up in the morning or you'll be in a situation and you're like so discombobulated that you don't even know you're left from your right. Like oftentimes, if God forbid, there's like an immediate illness or you have to go to the hospital or like something in your mind is just like spinning in circles and you're like, I just can't process something. You know, I've oftentimes commented that in the incident or in cases of death, when a rabbi comes to the house, that's oftentimes our most central role, right? At the end of the day, there's nothing really we could say to a family at that moment in time. They've just lost a loved one. It's so raw. There's very little comfort we can give them, and we're not supposed to give them comfort then. Our job is that while everyone else's mind is racing and spinning and in circles, the rabbi is that voice of clarity. The rabbi is, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to call the funeral home. We got to book a flight. We got it, right? And no matter how practical it seems, and it's almost like course, you feel it at sometimes, that's what you got to do. You got to think logically for people. So David HaMelech here is describing that feeling of bisatef alai ruchi, like my spirit is like dizzying. Like I don't even know. I'm like so discombobulated. I'm so overwhelmed. Hashem, you know what's going on, right? Says the Radak, you know, Hashem, that I'm not doing something wrong, like my enemies are trying to do. I didn't do anything wrong, David HaMelech says, and yet they're chasing after me. Right? What David HaMelech is clearly about to communicate is that he's reaching out to Hashem in a moment of desperation, that he is in a state of weakness, he is in a state of persecution, and he feels he has no other path to salvation. And so he looks to Hashem, and he says in Pasuk 5, Habet yamin urei, ve'in li makir, I look to my right, there's no one who recognizes me. Avad manos mimeni, ein deresh l'nafshi, right? There's no one who's going to protect me. Manos is a protection. There's no one who's going to protect me anymore. Ein doresh l'nafshi. There's no one who cares about me. There's no one that cares about me. So says the Radak, David HaMelech is like looking all around him. He's in this precarious situation. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. And you and I both know that the single worst feeling when you're in a moment of desperation is not feeling alone, but feeling lonely. Right? Because you could be in a room full of people. You could be surrounded by people and still feel lonely, right? So you cannot be alone, but still feel lonely. So there's no worse feeling than when you walk into a room and it seems like everyone's going in one direction and you're going in the other, where you are weighted down by something that's going on in your personal life, in your family life, and you sometimes have to go to a party or you sometimes have to go to an event and everyone else is happy and jubilant and whatever, and you're sitting there with this weightiness and you're in a room full of people and you feel like the loneliest person in the world. That's what David HaMelech is feeling right here. Habet yamin ure'e, David HaMelech is looking, says the Radak, she'abit yamin u'smol, ein mi she'yakirenu. There's no one there to help me. There's no one who recognizes me. Everyone's giving me the cold shoulder. Avad manos mimeni, even the things that I normally rely on for protection, they're all gone. All the people have abandoned me. Ein doresh l'nafshi. There's nobody who cares about me. There's nobody cares about me. Right? There's no one who's going to protect me. There's nobody who's going to save me. And again, you just have to picture that scene of David HaMelech, like all these people he always relied upon, are no longer there to help him. This, by the way, answers one of the core challenges against the theory that you and I stated at the beginning, that this is David HaMelech in En Gedi. David HaMelech in En Gedi, if you study, was not alone. David HaMelech was surrounded by a troop of people. He had his whole cohort of troops. So how could you say here, David HaMelech, that you're alone? How could you say here that you look around, there's nobody with you? There were tons of people with you. So perhaps, right, so the Das Mikra gives his suggestion, where he suggests that yes, David HaMelech is surrounded by his men, but he's giving a voice to his entire unit. Notice it's the collective we. We feel alone. We, when we look to our right and left, no one else is there to save us. But I think it's much more simple. That you can be in a room full of people and still feel lonely. And so despite the fact that David HaMelech is surrounded by people, he still looks around and he says, there's nobody who gets me. There's no one who's going to come to bat for me. There's no one at the end of the day who's going to look after me if I don't look after myself, or if you don't look after me, Hashem. And so therefore, in that desperation, in that depth, again, remember where David HaMelech is. He's in a cave. That's a very descriptive imagery. Right? Again, he's closed off from everybody else around him. And so what does he do? Za'akti elecha Adonai. He only has one choice. He only has one avenue for salvation and for redemption. And that is, he screams out to Hashem. Ata machsi. Right? As opposed to the last pasuk, where it's avad manos mimeni, where nobody was there anymore. Now it's ata machsi. Hashem, you are my machsi. You are my refuge. You are the one who's going to help me. Chelki be'eretz hachaim. Again, you are in the land of living. Again, whether that's Eretz Yisrael, whatever the case that is talking about. Some of the Mefarshim say that we're talking about Eretz Yisrael here. But David HaMelech is communicating to Hashem that you are my only salvation. Right? You are where I can turn. I cannot turn anywhere else. Pasuk 7. Hakshiva el rinasi, davens to Hashem. Hashem, please listen to my rina. Rina is not just a cry, but it's a little bit more than that, but we'll translate it as cry loosely here. Hakshiva el rinasi, ki dalosimo. Dalos means like I'm impoverished. I'm kedalim ukrushim dafaknu delasecha, we say in Slichos, that I'm a desperate person. Right, kidali mukrashim. When we say that we knock on Hashem's door like a dali mukrashim, we're not saying like, "Oh Hashem, nice to meet you." No, no, no. You know, like you have mishulachim come to your door, and sometimes they're like, "Yeah, I'm collecting for a cause," and you're like, "Here's $18," and they're like, "Okay." And then there's a mishulach that comes to your door, and you give them the $18, and they're like, "No, no, you don't understand. Like, if you don't give me, I literally can't put food on my table." And there's like a desperation in there. That is kidali mukhrashim dafaknu delasechna. We come before Hashem, we're banging on Hashem's door. We're not like, "Hi Hashem, I'm sorry to bother you, I won't take too much time." No! It's like Hashem, the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim are psuchim lefanav. Like, Hashem, I need you. There's a desperation in it. That's the pasuk here. Hakshiva arinasi, Hashem, listen to our cry. Listen to what we have to say. Kidalosi me'od, Hashem, because Hashem, I am pathetically low right now. I'm desperate right now. Hatzileni mirafai, save me from those who are chasing after me. Ki amtsu mimenu amtsu, says in the Tzudat Zion, is a lashon of chizku. They are so much stronger than me. In other words, al pi teva, naturally, I have no chance, Hashem. But you are lamala mina teva. You are above nature. And so therefore, even though I'm caught between that proverbial rock and a hard place, you can figure out a way of anything. Yeshua Hashem Karafayin. You can solve any problem, Hashem. And why do I want this so badly? Why do I want this so badly? Pasuk 8. Hotzia mimazger nafshi Hashem. Free me from my prison. Laudos Hashemecha. So that I can praise your name. Biachtiru tzadikim kisigmol alai. Right? Who's going to see your salvation? The tzadikim. And when the tzadikim see that you redeemed me, your lowly servant David HaMelech, they too will praise you. It will raise them up as well. So don't just do it for me, Hashem. Do it for the tzaddikim. Give them chizuk, that they place their hope in you, and that when they see me saved, they'll realize that you're going to save them as well. Okay. So a few different thoughts on this chapter. First of all, I hope you now appreciate it. It's a raw chapter of Tehillim. It's a visceral chapter of Tehillim. David HaMelech is in a state of weakness. He's in a state of desperation. He's in a state of persecution. He has nowhere else to turn. He has no other path of salvation or redemption. And so he comes to the only conclusion, which is that I have to come before Hashem. And he promises Hashem, he says, if you save me, then the righteous will praise you as a result. So don't just do it for me, do it for your name, because through me, they will come to praise you. A few quick thoughts on this chapter of Tehillim, which I think is very, very powerful. Number one is, I think that we should quickly understand that the cave here is not simply David HaMelech in En Gedi in a cave, but the cave here is the cave of our lives. right? We oftentimes find ourselves in the metaphoric cave where we feel surrounded on all sides. We feel like there's no path to that salvation or redemption, and we scream out to Hashem. And that cave for us could be an illness. That cave for us can be losing a job. That cave for us can be a broken relationship, right? There are so many situations in life. It could be COVID, where you've been alone, stuck in your house the last 6 months, right? There are so many examples of what our caves in life could be. This chapter is for you in those moments of time. In those moments in time, when you feel like you're in that proverbial metaphoric cave, do what David HaMelech did, scream out to Hashem, recognize that Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin, that even though in our minds there's no path to salvation, Hashem can always figure out a way. And that's why we scream out to Him. Number two is, I'll just point out that last pasuk to me is very powerful. Hotzia mimazger nafshi, which means Hashem, free me from prison. Okay? Now in here, David HaMelech in the literal sense is talking about the prison that he feels in, right? In other words, he feels like he's in a prison because he's surrounded on all sides by enemies, right? But if we take our metaphor, this isn't just David HaMelech in his state of life right then, but this is about all of us when we're in that cave. So Hosia Mimazger Nafshi, some of the Bali Chassidus point out that the prison is the prison that we create for ourselves, that so often we place limitations on ourselves. We create the shackles, the limitations of what we are capable of and what we can accomplish and what we can achieve and what we can do, but they're self-imposed limitations. And so we ask Hashem, Hotzia mimazger nafshi, Hashem, release me of my self-imposed limitations. The voice in my head that says I can't do it. The voice in my head that says I'm not good enough to do it. The voice in my head that says that I'm not smart enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm not wealthy enough. No! Hotzia mimazger nafshi, Hashem, please take away those limitations. Help rid me of those voices. Hotzia mimazger nafshi, please take me out of my self-imposed prison that I've created for myself because of that voice in my head which is telling me to do it. I think that's a very powerful idea as well. Last idea I want to share with you, and this is where we come to Sukkos a little bit, is the first pasuk of the parak. First pasuk of the parak was Maskil LeDavid, which we, Maskil, again, how do you translate it? It's an observation of David, right? It's an understanding of David. Like, that's kind of how we would loosely translate it. But the Medrash picks up on this. And the Medrash says, right, Lehaskil, Maskil means, not just like, oh, like David has this, it's like, I have an epiphany now that I haven't had in any other circumstance. Now, where is David when he has this epiphany? David is in a cave. And the Medrash picks up on that and says, isn't that so strange? That David HaMelech doesn't have this epiphany in the palace. He doesn't have this epiphany when he's, you know, having a barbecue with all of his friends. He has this epiphany specifically when he is in a cave, okay? Says the Medrash, Kishahaya Shaul v'David b'ma'ara, when Shaul and David are in the tent, in the cave, excuse me, Yada ure'e, they see now, clearly, She'ein Adam omed lo b'mamono, v'lo b'chachmaso, v'lo b'gvuraso, they start appreciating what really matters and what really counts in this world. It's not your money. It's not how smart you think you are. It's not how strong you think you are. When you are in the cave, when you are in those moments, and again, for the most easy example for all of us is, let's say, an illness, where all of a sudden, all the things that once mattered to you now realize, like, they don't matter to me anymore, right? Because I've been reduced to such simplicity that I'm just grateful and desperate to stay alive, and desperate for whatever Hashem will give me right now. So says the Medrash, lo b'mamono, it's not your money, v'lo b'chachmaso, and it's not how smart you are, can't talk your way out of it all the time, v'lo b'gvuraso, umahu omelo, but what is the only thing that I have left? When life has reduced me from all of these things, what is the only thing I have left? tfilaso, my ability to communicate to Hashem. That is the one thing that as long as there is breath in my nostrils and my heart is beating, that I will always have the ability to do, and that is talk to Hashem. Hiskil David, says the Medrash. David HaMelech has this epiphany. V'yada v'amar she'ein tov lo ela tefila. David HaMelech now realizes that the best thing in the world, the greatest gift that God ever gave to mankind, is our ability to daven to Him, is our ability to speak to Him. I think this is such a profound Medrash. What is David's epiphany? What is the great understanding that David HaMelech has in the cave when he is sleeping on a rock where he's got nothing in his life anymore? He realizes that all of that is fleeting. All of that is here 1 second, gone the next, and it ain't going to help me in the most important when I'm sick or when I'm dead. The only thing I have is that relationship with Hashem. David HaMelech now has a deeper understanding of what's important and what's not. And it represents David's reprioritization of what matters in his life. This, by the way, I believe, is one of the themes of what Sukkot is all about. Sukkot is our cave, right? And I've spoken about this in BRS on Sukkot in the past. Sukkot is our cave. What do? We leave the comforts of our home. We go out into the elements, completely exposed, surrounded by a very shaky tent, which isn't going to offer you a lot of real protection if you are desperate for it, right? What does it have to be made out of? So the schach, which is the essential part of the sukkah, what's it made out of? It has to be made out of like withering tree branches. That is not going to serve you a lot of protection. So we're completely exposed. We're completely vulnerable. Why does Chazal do it? What's the whole purpose of a sukkah? Is to have that cave-like experience. It's to put ourselves in David HaMelech's mindset when he's in this cave, and to come to the same realization that David HaMelech comes to. That it's lo b'mamono, it's not my money, v'lo b'chachmaso, it's not how smart I am, v'lo b'gvuraso, it's not how strong I am or how capable I am. Right? When I'm completely exposed to the elements, and I look at my schach, what do I remember? The tzela de'memnusa, that's what we say the schach is. It's the shade of Hashem. I'm reminded of my reliance on Hashem. I'm reminding myself that when everything else in life abandons me, when everything in life that I thought would provide me happiness and joy and security, all of that is now not there for me. None of that's going to help you if you get sick or, right? The only thing you got left is your relationship with Hashem. The only thing you have left is that ability to communicate with Hashem. And so therefore concludes the Medrash, Umahu Omelo. When you've got nothing else, you're sitting in the sukkah, you're completely exposed to the elements. Such simplicity. Think about a sukkah, it's so simple. What do we have left? Tfilaso. We have left our davening. David HaMelech realizes then as the Medrash concludes, Va'amar She'ein Tovlo, there's nothing as good for you. Not your car, not your house, not your hot shower, not your whatever. There's nothing as good for you. Ela tefila. Is that ability to have that relationship with Hashem. It's that ability to communicate with Hashem. I spoke in BRS a few years ago about Yom Kippur. And I said that to me, if you ask me what the 6 most important words on Yom Kippur are, it's not as you're in my seat, it's not right. I had all this shtick about that. But to me, the 6 most important words are Hashem, Sfasai, Tiftach, Ufi yagiti lasecha. Hashem, despite the fact that you are infinite and you are awesome and you are grand and you are beyond human comprehension, still allow me, a mortal, imperfect, faulted human being, to have a conversation with you. That is the most audacious thing that Judaism provides to the world, is that no matter how imperfect we are, how many faults we have, no matter our shortcomings, no matter how, it doesn't matter. We always maintain that ability to daven to Hashem and that ability to speak to Hashem. And so now hopefully you understand a little bit. It's not a very long chapter of Tehillim, but you understand a little bit about why it's one of my favorite chapters. Is because, again, I think it speaks to those situations in life when you and I are in the proverbial caves. It reminds us about that reprioritization. It reminds us that oftentimes in life that the barriers and limitations that we place in ourselves are self-imposed limitations, and we dive into Hashem to absolve us, to free us from those self-imposed limitations. And ultimately, it's about a reminder that when you and I find ourselves in the difficult moments of life, when we find ourselves caught between that rock and the hard place where we feel there's no path to salvation, there's no path to redemption, we have one thing and one thing only. And that is the ability to communicate to Hashem, to daven to Hashem, to beseech with Hashem, to plead with Hashem, to argue with Hashem. That is a gift that Hashem has given us. Shame on us if we do not take advantage of that opportunity. And so I could think of no better chapter other than Kuf Lamed, but no other better chapter to bring us into Yom Kippur, to remind us of the gift of having a day designated solely to converse with our Creator. And whether you can go to shul or whether you can't go to shul, as I said, the good news is Hashem could hear you anywhere. David HaMelech was in a cave. Hashem heard him. You can be in your living room and Hashem could hear you. You do not need to go to shul in order to maximize the opportunity of Yom Kippur. All you need is the willingness to open up your heart and to open up your mouth and to have an honest, raw, authentic conversation with your Creator. And so with that, I want to wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova. Again, a year full of health and happiness, nachas from your children and your grandchildren, a year where COVID becomes in the distance and we can once again come together where those feelings of solitude and loneliness are behind us. And please God, next year we should be learning Tehillim, celebrating in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh with the, not the rebuilding, with the already built Beis HaMikdash.